Recording in progress.
Alo. Alo. Speaking, madam. I'm sorry that I can't talk to you. I'm on the portfolio committee.
Good morning. Goeiemôre. Goeiemôre.
Goeiemôre.
Baas, die mense. Ons is hier.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
We are here. Good morning.
Morning, Mama Miyoko. What's it say?
Morning, Sis Nancy.
Morning, Mama Miyoko.
Morning.
Sis Nancy.
I'm Andy.
You for separate me, so.
Mama,
Sis Nancy.
How are you?
I'm going to go to the WhatsApp. Sis Nancy, I'm going to WhatsApp. Yeah, Pete. Check us something on your WhatsApp.
So. Okay. So are we? We'll check now.
Good morning, colleagues.
Morning, Chair.
Good morning, Chair.
What's it here? What's it here? What's it here?
Okay. I will be sharing you from an oversight committee meeting, but I'm in a car in Polokwane, so. I'm not in an office, but I'm alone here. It's fine.
We can see you everywhere.
Okay. But let me. Thank you very much. The agenda is before us. I hope that we you are all welcome into the meeting. Can I ask that you observe a moment of silence for mediation and of prayer? Thank you very much. Everybody's welcome. I think we have got visitors in the committee. All of you are
yes. Yes. May I please just reflect on the agenda? I see here we have South African Local Government Association, SALGA, but we did not receive the presentation. When are we going to get those presentations? We got the one for NEDLAC, we got National Treasury, but we did not receive the one for SALGA.
It was received yesterday.
No, but on my agenda, I've been taking from last night, there's nothing. Who sent it?
I saw it.
Hello, hello. Can you get into the meeting? And then when we come to the item that is the problem, let's talk about it. We must not be the precondition. We are going to start with the public hearings on the national. Let me get apologies first. We must get apologies.
Good morning, Chairperson. We've got an apology from Mr. Hendricks.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Another, I think you should also indicate that the NOSIPO did send an apology because she's supposed to be part of the meeting. Though I might have my own issue with the apology, but the apology has been sent.
I'll do so.
Okay. We will be starting the presentation with that of the National Treasury, as it is indicated on the agenda. Welcome, members from the National Treasury. I know that the department might be here, but they are not necessarily invited to speak, so they will be just listening if they are in. If they are not in, it's also fine. They are not supposed to be participant in any way, but if they are here, let's welcome them.
Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chairperson, there are hands raised by Honorable Deggy and Honorable Dagger.
Let me see whether I see those hands. Can I see Honorable Deggy and Honorable Deggy?
I've lowered mine, Chair. I think I'm covered.
Covered by what?
No, I wanted to raise something on the agenda that was not clear on, but I've re-looked at it and I'm fine.
Jefferson.
Yes.
Yes, good morning to your good self and to all the members connected and all the guests connected in today's meeting and the department. Chair, I think before we adopt this agenda, I want to make a proposal to say we were aware of the process of public participation wherein we have published the agenda for public in the bill for public input. Therefore, I think it's going to be important that we allow the researcher of our portfolio committee to take us through in terms of the process. We know the process has been closed around the 4th of November. So just to make us aware in terms of the processes, how many inputs have we received, and what is the way forward in terms of processing this bill. Notwithstanding the guests that are here today, but just to have that overview report by the research unit. That's my proposal, Chair. Chairperson, my hand is up as well.
Chair. Chairperson Mashego. Chair Mashego, I'm done.
I hear you. I can see your hand, Honorable Mashala.
Oh, okay. Wow, thanks so much, Chairperson. So, Chairperson, I'm still on the item of SALGA. It is very unfair to us because if you are saying that we'll raise that issue when we are discussing the issue, it's a problem because we must first read the presentation ourselves before it is even presented there. We did not, I did not receive this presentation. I think I was excluded. So can someone please send us this presentation? Myself, I did not receive it from SALGA. I received all of them except SALGA. I'm on my emails. I'm checking my emails. I did not receive this thing. And this thing must come to an end now. We cannot be treated like this. Why are we excluded in other presentations? Can we please be sent that presentation so that we can deal with it now when we are still busy dealing with others? Because when we come there, it's going to be very late when I will be looking from the screen, not having the presentation in hand. So can I have it, please?
No, thanks, Honorable Mashala. And I'm sure it can be sent. That's why I was saying let's look at it, because in the process they might be sending it. But remember, the purpose of the meeting today, it is for people to present their view on the proposed bill. And then we will have to, as a committee, to look at all of them and call the department to come and react to the presentation. So it shouldn't be that, but of course, you are supposed to be getting a presentation. But it shouldn't be an issue, honestly speaking. But SALGA, please, talent. Please send the presentation of SALGA to Honorable Mashala. And in the meantime, we'll get into the proposal as proposed by Honorable Zeke, that which is correct, that the as the portfolio committee, we've got the research unit that helps to navigate things as they are. And I think it is better that even the others, the members who are visiting us to come and make presentation, take into cognizance where we are as a portfolio committee as far as our thinking on the bill is concerned. So to me, it doesn't matter who comes first, but let's go with the proposal as proposed by Honorable Seke. In the meantime, talent, send Honorable Mashala the SALGA presentation.
I have done so, Chairperson.
Okay. Tomani?
Good morning, Chairperson.
Good morning, sir.
Yes.
Select your analysis. Want to hear your analysis.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Talent, can you allow me to upload? Talent?
Yes, you can upload.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the indulgence, members and colleagues. Are you seeing the analysis there?
Yes, we can see it, too many.
Okay, thank you. Good morning once more. The process that I'm going to explain now, I'm not going to go into procedures and all of that because there is a legal advisor who's assisting us with that. She will answer all the questions that relate to procedure and legal issues, as well as Shireen. She's also available to assist with in terms of procedures. What I'm going to do, I'm going to provide a brief analysis of the submissions that we have received up to this far, just to indicate that a call for public comments was issued beginning of October, and it ended on the 4th of May. And we received a number of submissions. And in a nutshell, the call was to get to solicit comments from the public and other institutions or organizations in terms of the bill that seeks to establish the South African National Water Resources Infrastructure Agency, which will be a state-owned company. And thus far, we received 120 by the 4th, and on the following Monday, then we received another submission from COSATU, and that brings all the submissions to 121, and that will be just above 75%. So that is in terms of the ones that supported the submissions, it's 75%, which will be a little bit, maybe 77 when we add the one from COSATU. And 10% of the submissions supported the bill, the remainder is the ones that partially supported the bill. Insofar as general comments are concerned, a majority of people did not really support have the comments relating specific to the content of the bill, but also relating to the issues of the intent of the bill. And if I may just give examples of the issues that may be raised as issues in terms of not supporting the bill, it relates to the issues of the fact that government has existing institutions that should be held accountable to provide water services. And they indicated that the creation of the agency would be unnecessarily increase the cost of water, and it will be in a way encourage or privatization of water services and their supply. And they were also concerned that the agency may provide a conducive environment for corruption, cronyism, and maladministration. And in summary, these comments, when one looks at all of them in total, the ones that are against the establishment or against the establishment of the agency, they display a total loss of confidence in government's ability to establish the agency and to improve water infrastructure, development, and provision of water services. And in terms of the ones that provided substantive submissions, Mr. Hendrik Dutoit, a retired employee of the department, he indicated that he would like to make an oral presentation. Although majority of his comments were not related to the content and intent of the bill, so I will elaborate on that. So that graph there just shows the analysis of submissions. You can see we received 12 that says yes, and 90 that says no, and 17 that supported, not fully supported, so that is partially supporting the bill, and one which was irrelevant, which I indicated there at the bottom. You can see it's from Ms. Mkhize. You can see, you can't make out exactly what she's trying to say there, but yeah, so those are some of the type of comments that were received. So that was classified as irrelevant. And those that have partially supported the bill indicated they would only support it if there were no private sector participation, as the involvement of private companies would be tantamount to privatization of basic services. So that is in the main the contention why they do not, they support it partially. It is worth to note that there were two government institutions that made submissions, the Western Cape Provincial Government and the South African National Biodiversity Institute. And they indicated that they made these submissions to the department during the department's public participation process. And the same submissions, they made them to us, to Parliament as well, because when they read the tabled bill, these comments were not factored into the bill that eventually got tabled in Parliament. And also, indeed, their assertions were through because when I perused the bill, then I could see that, of course, their comments were not taken into consideration. Now I will provide just a brief analysis of the submissions from the South African National Biodiversity Institute. This is an entity of the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment. And their main mandate there is they are responsible for biodiversity conservation and so on, and research related to that. One of the issues that stand out from maybe before I get into the gist of it, is that they support the establishment of the bill, in a sense supporting the establishment of the agency. One of the issues that they highlighted is the issue around the definition of national water resources infrastructure. So they felt that the bill left out the ecological infrastructure, which they continue to provide the definition of ecological infrastructure, that they felt it should be included in the bill, because ecological infrastructure plays a critical role in supporting the man-made infrastructure. So that is in a sense some of their comments. But also they went further to comment on clause by clause, and also suggest some inputs into the actual text of the bill. And I just extrapolated one example where they inserted the words adaptation to in section 7.1b of the bill, and when those words are inserted, that section will read as follows, yes, provide, operate, maintain national water resources infrastructure in a manner that takes account of national development objectives, including the adaptation to. Those are the words that they added, because there was only, I think, in the clause, there was only mitigation, reference to mitigation of climate change. So they felt that adaptation should be included. And this is very, very important. It improves the substance of the bill and also the quality. So that is, in essence, their comments. But there are many that they've made into the bill, which I believe majority of them really improved the quality of the bill. And then the Western Cape provincial government, they also made the submissions. They do not support the bill as it stands now. Their reasons for withholding their support is based on the lack of information that they requested from the department, which they did not receive. They feel that once they get the information, then they will be in a position to support or not support. For now, they are saying they are withholding their support pending a receipt of that information. And also they indicate that they wanted the socioeconomic impact assessment, which would have provided the rationale for the establishment of the agency or the drafting of this bill. So that is, in essence, their concern with the public participation process from the department side. And they went on to, although those were the issues, but they went on also to comment in the content of the bill by providing a substantive comment, including in text or clause specific and language or drafting errors. So they have highlighted some of those. And I pick one example there, which in the preamble of the bill, they have a concern with it, which should have read as there, as the term resources is plural. So in other words, they indicate that there is a grammar issue there, which I think obviously it makes sense. And then they also indicated the issue around clause 1-2 of the Act, and they indicate that it's superfluous as South African law already requires what is provided in the clause. So that is another comment which they've made, but they have made a majority of clauses in actual context of the bill, which are also similar. Some of them are similar to the South African National Biodiversity Institute. So that is, in a sense, what they've submitted. And in the end, what we say is that the committee should consider both the Western Cape as well as the South African National Biodiversity Institute comments, especially the ones that relate to the clause specific clauses or the in-text inputs, because they, majority of them, would strengthen the bill in terms of quality and substance. And also, it will be also beneficial to the committee to request the Department of Water and Sanitation to indicate the reasons for not including those comments from SANBI and the Western Cape government, because as we have indicated, majority of them really improves the quality of the bill. And in the end, then we recommend that those that have indicated interest to provide oral submission, they should be given that opportunity, which I think now today marks that the beginning of that process. So that is what it is. And now SANBI and the Western Cape province, all of them, SANBI in fact indicated that they have no interest to make oral submission because their submission is substantive enough. And also the Western Cape did not indicate, but when we look at their submission is substantive enough as well. So there is no need for them to make oral presentations. That is the brief analysis of the submissions, Chairperson and honorable members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Omani. I'm sure we have heard the presentation. It is aimed at guiding us. Let me ask you a personal question, Tomani. If 90% says no and 10% says yes, with all the substance, the substantive matters that they're putting on the, what is your advice?
Chairperson, that is a procedural issue, it's a legal issue that should best answered by our legal advisor. And yeah, so I think that I will leave it to that. But I have seen instances where there are issues around this, but I have seen some of the bills becoming law. So, but anyway. I will leave that. I will not. I'm not in a position really to provide an answer to that. So I think we can put that to the legal advisor.
Is
Thank
the legal advisor part of the meeting?
As far as I understand, she was invited to be part of the meeting. I'm
okay.
Not quite sure that she's here.
Yes, please.
My name is Pumelele Ngema, the parliamentary legal advisor assisting in this matter. I indeed did get an invite, but in our last communication with the support staff, I had indicated that I'm on leave, but I have attempted to come through and I might be having some connectivity challenges. However, I do have my colleague, Ms. Arnold, in case anything does happen, interpreting to stand in and just assist in case of taking the questions that the committee may have, and then we'll address them. But I will attempt as much as I can to be part of the meeting. But as I indicated, I might have connectivity issues. The question that the chairperson has posted, chairperson, even though not solely so much a legal question, Chairperson. I think what the has been presented in terms of the numbers and the percentages, it's just an indication, Chairperson, because what I've seen is that the submissions, some of them, even though they may increase the number to say they are not supporting, the substance is really not there to indicate exactly why they would be against the bill. However, it's just an indication and the frustrations, I guess, the citizens are feeling in terms of everything that's happening and what is not happening correctly and the improvements that they would be expecting. So in light of the question that the chairperson posed, chairperson, to say if we were to have a majority saying they are not supporting the bill, it does not necessarily that it means the bill must be kicked out. But we need to be considering their views and deliberate on them as the committee. And if in any way whatever they are raising is influencing the committee, then you take it on board, Chairperson, as the members. And that would be the indication or direction I indicate in terms of the question that is posed. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I'm sure it suffices. It suffices. It was an enabling question. I do hope that the other to present, for instance, your all this Salga Treasury, who are going to present, please take care of take note of what the presentation is, and react if you want to react in the presentation, whether you still want us to consider some of the things that they are saying. I'm not sure if there's anyone who wants to ask a question before we end, we allow Treasury. No, Treasury.
Chairperson, good morning. It seems like my video is not working and you can't see me, but anyway, my name is Ulrika Britton. I am the Chief Director for Urban Development and Infrastructure in the National Treasury, where I am primarily the budget examiner for, amongst other departments, the Department of Water and Sanitation. Good morning to the honorable members. I'm ready to make a presentation on our inputs that we have made to the department. So we shared these comments with the department too. I hope my screen is visible and you are able to see my presentation. Chairperson, could you please confirm that you can see it?
We all do.
Okay, thank you. So Chair, just the outline of this presentation, I am going to highlight the extensive consultation that we've had with the department and the issues that we have been consulted with the department on primarily deals with governance and financing in the specific areas listed below. So I'm going to go straight into that. So Chair, we have provided written comments to the department on two occasions in the consultation process, one in the internal government consultation process and also in the public consultation process. We've had various meetings with the department around clarifying issues within the bill and the business case that has happened until the bill was submitted to Parliament. In general, we show support for the proposed reform in setting up the infrastructure agency. The real magic in setting up the infrastructure agency that is maybe not explicit in the bill is that what we're doing is we're taking the assets of the water trading entity and we're putting it into an agency that would allow us to think about a different kind of financing mechanism available for the agency around water infrastructure in a way that is, we think, a lot more sustainable. And one of the important things that it does is it creates a balance sheet for the infrastructure agency in a way that the TCTA doesn't have right now that will reduce the risks to the fiscus. In our comments on the bill that we have raised with the department, so I will do this clause by clause, specifically around the establishment of the agency. We had an extensive consultation with the department around what this means, because once the bill is enacted, it amends the PFMA. So one of the things that we just may have to clarify within the bill is to ensure that the wording around all of this doesn't give the Minister of Finance the authority to list the Schedule II entity, as Schedule II entities can only be listed through an Act of Parliament. So currently, the PFMA doesn't give the Minister of Finance this authority. This all lies within an Act of Parliament, which is what this bill would allow us to do. Just on the objects and the functions of the agency in clauses 4 and 5, we support that this bill is really around developing, maintaining, and operating water resource infrastructure in a way that is sustainable, equitable, and reliable, and that is consistent with the constitutional imperatives that are set out in the Bill of Rights. One of the things that maybe we don't say explicitly in the bill that maybe the committee would like to consider is around the efficiency in the management of water resources. And there's two main reasons around all of this. So whilst it's important for water to be reliable, sustainable, and equitable, and maybe in sustainable, we are underpinning this definition of efficiency. But the efficiency really deals with two real issues here. The first is the scarcity of water. I mean, this committee knows better than anybody around South Africa being a water-scarce country, us having below-average annual rainfall, which means that we have to manage our resources, the infrastructure associated with that, in a lot more efficient manner. The second relates to us creating a monopoly. And when you create a monopoly, microeconomics tells us because there's no competition, some inefficiencies may exist within the investment and the operations that could change prices. And so in a regulatory framework, you want to ensure that a monopoly is as efficient as possible and does not make any of the kind of monopoly rents. Now, we do have some weaknesses in the existing regulatory framework, for the economic regulatory framework for water resource management, given that the minister is ultimately the regulator too, and the authority around water resource management. So reforms around all of that may strengthen this role around the efficiency of the agency. In relation to governance, there's a whole range of issues that we had raised with the department, and we support how it is set out in the bill. So in clause 8, really when we look at how it is set out, it provides for two executives within the agency to be members of the board, and between 9 and 11 non-executive members. That includes representatives from the Minister of Water and Sanitation and the Minister of Finance. So if we take those two representatives out of that, what it means is that you have about, so from a voting point of view, between 7 and 9 members that are independent of a government kind of employee or a government position around all of that, that does balance and does reinforce the independence that we are wanting from the agency. In relation to clause 19, which is about the disclosure of interest, I mean, this is important because what we're trying to do and we're trying to achieve around all of this is to ensure that board members act in an unbiased manner. And the bill makes reference to Section 75 of the Companies Act around how things should be disclosed, the materiality of that disclosure, and when that is material, how members should recuse themselves. And that is quite broad and the Companies Act deals with it in very specific ways. And maybe we want to make reference to it in those specific ways around all of this, because the ultimate objective is to ensure that members behave fairly, and where there is some kind of disclosure of some interest that sits within all of that, how do we ensure that they in some ways where you don't necessarily have to recuse yourself, just ensure that they act in a way that is fair. Then, in relation to the remuneration of the board and the CEO and the CFO, honourable members, the bill makes provision for this to be approved by the Minister of Water and Sanitation in consultation with the Minister of Finance. It doesn't make any reference to the broader remuneration policy of the agency. It just deals with the remuneration of the two, I'm assuming these two executives within the board and the board, and maybe that is something that maybe needs to be explored a little further. Just on the funding of the agency, the bill makes provision for the agency to collect fees from various activities and functions that is set out in section 4, in clause 4 of the bill. It also makes provision for it to charge water charges consistent with the National Water Act and to receive appropriations from Parliament. The bill also allows for loans, for the agency to raise any loans. That is consistent with section 62 of the PSM, 66 of the PSMA. So in the PSMA, we have provisions related to which entities can borrow money. The PSMA sets out that entity's enabling legislation must provide for it. So that is what it does here. But in clause 32, the bill goes further in relation to Schedule 2 entities, where the authority to borrow lies with the accounting authority, versus in this bill, that goes one step further, and be comfortable with that, where it says that this will be done with the approval of the Minister of Water and Sanitation after consultation with the Minister of Finance. And I suppose this is just in relation to the kind of current environment where Schedule 2 entities find themselves in, and this is just an additional measure that the department is putting in place around the borrowing authority of the entity. Then just lastly on budgeting and financing matters, the bill then also provides, is consistent with the clauses in the PSMA, so chapter 6 of the PSMA, around the planning processes and reporting and the timelines around all of that, that we then set out in the PSMA, say for example, on when financial statements will be submitted to the Auditor General, and when annual reports need to be published. So it's consistent with the existing legal framework that we have around all of this. On the transfer of assets, so this is really where we give legal certainty to lenders on the TCPA paper around how assets and liabilities will be treated within the new agency. And this is very important for the existing guarantees and providing the certainty around the existing guarantees and loans and other commitments that we have. So the legal certainty is provided for in clause 37. And then lastly, honourable members, the powers of the minister that you set out specifically for us in relation to additional functions in clause 44 and the interventions and authority for the minister to intervene when the board underperforms in clause 47. In relation to the additional functions in clause 44, one of the important things around the sustainability of the entity would be that when the minister issues directives, that the PFMA then requires, and those directives have financial implications, the PFMA then requires the accounting authority of the agency to inform the minister of what that is. And one of the things that's important around all of this is what we don't want is a situation where directives are issued for things that should not be funded through the various revenue streams that the that the agency is empowered to collect revenue for, to subsidize activities that may sit outside of its mandate, or where some instructions are given for them to execute functions that goes beyond their primary objectives. And then just what is very important to us is around the interventions and the minister's authority to, in relation to clause 47, to appoint an administrator and to intervene timely. So what this does is it allows the minister almost like to have early warning mechanisms in place that he's able to use in a way to ensure that there's some kind of discipline in meeting of targets consistent with the entity's strategic plan and broader governance arrangements. So lastly, and just in conclusion, honorable members, we are reiterating that our support for the establishment of the agency, and like I said earlier, that it's not explicit in the bill, but what the real magic in setting up this agency means that the assets in the water trading entity in the department can be utilized in a way that underwrites financing for the entity that may reduce the cost of finance, but also allows for different kind of financing mechanisms that should make water resources more affordable. We highlight and we support that the governance arrangements that are set out in the bill, it provides for sufficient independence within how the board is then is put together, that there's sufficient security around ensuring that board members act in the best interest of the entity, and it gives the authority for the minister to intervene when that doesn't happen. And then just on the financing arrangements, it empowers the agency to raise revenue in different forms that then provide some kind of security around how water resource infrastructure is financed. And like I said earlier, the reporting and budget planning obligations for Schedule II entities set up in Chapter 6 of the PFMA is also provided for in the bill. And that is where I end. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Is that what is your name, by the way, Clinton?
Ulrika.
Monica.
Ulrika.
No, Ulrika. Thank you very much. Very clear, and I'm sure I heard and understood. I want us to get the second presentation before we engage members, or do you want to engage now?
Let's get a second presentation so that we engage in all of them. As okay. We know, think, the presenters.
Honorable Mshala, did you get the SALGA presentation?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Okay. Can we then get the second presentation? Helen?
This is
the South African Local Government Association.
I'm coming through. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Are you getting cold?
No, we all getting cold. I heard that it is raining all over. However, my greetings, Honorable Chairperson, on behalf of SALGA. We have to apologize for the inconvenience I heard from my colleagues when they were complaining about the failure to get the presentation in advance. I'm very sorry about that, but our technical team did tell me that they did submit that earlier on. While I'm still preparing here, I have to also acknowledge the fact that the inputs that were made by my predecessor here were really very interesting. Honorable Chairperson, I can see that I'm still struggling here a little bit. I don't know why. It's like when a school kid was going to say a poem in the olden days, he will prepare and prepare, but when time comes, he will find himself in a problem. But I'm not in a problem anyway. I think there are those people who keep on phoning, and they disturb you, and all your presenting will get lost. However, I have to appreciate the fact that the portfolio committee also made this time for us to be part of this meeting. And I must also at the same time express our gratitude about the endeavors that is being made. Oh my God, what's happening now? Am I heard?
You are not moving anywhere.
Thank you. We have my greetings to you, Honorable Chairperson. There was something that I wanted also to highlight before I embark on my speech, on my presentation, was that we are grateful that most of the members, honorable members, usually are members who have been serving on SALGA and also who are aware of our issues. And that makes us also feel very grateful that the dynamics out there, colleagues, honorable members, are clearly known to you, so that we don't come up with something that you don't know, and we come up with something that we are familiar, and of which we are also grateful that with that understanding, it is clear that we are not also alone, because we have people who have got experience of the things we also experience on the ground. Honorable members, I have my specialist, and my specialist there from SALGA, who is going to make an input on our behalf. However, as SALGA, we acknowledge that water is a right for everyone. It's a basic right which needs also to be also taken care of, where all the people need to be having water access. Honourable members, as well as the guests, we are aware of the presentation made by some of our colleagues, as they did, as I acknowledge it. It is a valid point, but SALGA will have its own input, because where we come from, we know, we are well aware that we have also entities that are there, the boards, as we are aware in KZN, for instance, that the minister is trying to conflagrate and try and have one body. While trying to get hold of my presentation here, which is to introduce, in fact, our specialist, we have to acknowledge the difficulty that we experience as the municipalities of collecting. And we are aware that while we think of creating of another agency, it is also going to be the same matter of getting the agency, also collecting or looking for the money to sustain itself and the function that it will be created for. As such, I think the department, the portfolio committee, will take it into cognizance that all will not come without its own need. While saying that, We know that the end user, who are the people on the ground, the client that are going to benefit out of this, will be expected also to pay for this facility. While saying that, I feel Dubalo, our specialist, will however be in a position to explain thoroughly for us to understand this. I heard that water also made me to laugh on the presentation and listening to our honorable members, is that there were hesitation as to know if really do we need to go on with this consultation and also the inputs that people are making, and that also express our opinion on what others have already expressed. It is clear that people are on the ground and they know what is good for them. Having said that, may I invite now our specialist to make a presentation on behalf of SALCA.
Specialist, welcome.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Just to check, is the presentation slided and am I audible?
Both, yes.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The input is really brief from our side. I think my Honorable Chairperson has already made some general remarks. It's just two slides, Honorable Chair. I think first is that the general concept of the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency is not problematic under the key is the right conditions. Secondly, is that efforts by the department to create the right conditions through various initiatives are noted. I think the portfolio committee will be well aware of all of the work that the department is trying to do. I think then third, the issue of municipal financial viability and the funding model, which results in household inability to pay for water, has created a vicious cycle of debt. And it is not clear to what extent DWS has considered this reality. The right conditions include municipal financial sustainability. And without this, the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency is at risk. Because in the final analysis, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the water must be sold and it must be paid for. If that part doesn't happen, this might be a house of cards. And lastly, the state-owned companies have not and are not performing well for various reasons. It is not clear what DWS has or will put in place to prevent the National Water Resources Infrastructure Agency from performing poorly. We think that it's responsible to exercise due caution and mitigate against the obvious risks. These are more comments that are broader and don't refer specifically to the bill, but the background issues as we look and at the agency that the bill intends to establish. In terms of our recommendations, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, there's only three. The view is that the FASCIN National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency will not survive if the financial health of all parts of the system is not taken care of first. We therefore recommend the following. First, workable proposals to deal with historic municipal debt to the water trading entity are found and urgently actioned. The debt to the water trading entity is sitting at around 17 billion. The debt to water board is sitting around 14.6 billion. So it's clearly got a problem there. Second is that mechanisms to prevent future municipal water debts are developed and implemented as part of the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency. If this is not done, the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency will not be viable in the medium to long term, as debt will accumulate, as has happened with the water trading entity before. So one of the critical assumptions, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, in the business case of the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency is that the debt issue is not going to be there. We are not quite sure how that is a reasonable assumption to be making, and if that's not dealt with, we may be setting ourselves up for failure. And the final, which is to be expected, Honorable Chair, is that assurance is provided to municipalities that the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency will not result in an increase in bulk water tariffs as municipalities cannot afford this. I think, Honorable Chair, this speaks indirectly to the issue of efficiency and inefficiency. If the agency is inefficient, that cost has to be passed down. And unfortunately, that cost will ultimately be passed down to the end user. And it will further create or sustain the challenge that we've got in terms of municipal debt, which will ultimately undermine all of our very good objectives and endeavors. the input stops there, Honorable Chair, and thank you very much for the opportunity and for hearing us out. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry, the recommendation by the our researcher did guide us to a level where we need to have the department taking care of all the inputs, responding and giving sureties and guarantees and answers to the questions, concerns, and fears raised by the entities that are presented. But let me allow the members if they want to raise certain things, because the second point that must now happen is for us to take this report as they are raised by the entities that have spoken to us, and then call the department to come and respond to it in order for us to can give sureties and answers to the people that have raised the issues with us. On their behalf, we must represent their interests when we meet with the department. But let me hear, members, if there is anyone who wants to speak, all inputs that want to make all of us. I see the hand of Honorable Basson. Only one hand. Oh, Honorable Mushala. That's Honorable Seki, Honorable Mutuba, Honorable Stephen Moore. In that order, I started with Honorable Basson, Honorable Mushala, Honorable Seki, Honorable Mutuba, Honorable Moore, Honorable Sishwai.
Sorry, Chairperson, I was still going to have the network at the end of the members.
Okay. Comments. Oh, by the way, agreed that you present all of them. Okay,
yes,
that's
fine.
Yeah, let's get network then. Sorry, I'm sorry, members. I'm sorry, members. The hands will still follow the sequence, even if it's not necessarily the sequence, but all of you will speak. It will be Honorable Basson, Honorable Seki, Honorable Mutuba, Honorable Moore, Honorable Fishwai. I don't see the hand of Honorable Mushala anymore, so it means it's covered. Okay,
no, I can't keep raising my hand, Chair. I'm still number two. You said in that sequence, everyone must put lower their hands now.
Okay.
Even to setting on the screen, everyone can lower. I've lowered my hand after you said that NEDLAG is coming.
Thank you very much, NEDLAG.
Morning, Chair. I'm going to put on my video for a moment. Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Nobuntu Sibisi. I am the executive manager at NEDLAG. The executive director was in another meeting. I'm not sure if she has joined us now. So she sent apologies, but she could be here any minute. I will present on behalf of NEDLAG, and I would request to put my video off so that we can ensure that the connectivity is not adversely affected. Chairperson, firstly, let me appreciate that you have invited NEDLAG to present on its discussions or engagements in relation to the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency. I am not alone in this meeting. I am joined by the manager for social development at NEDLAG, Ms. Busisiwe Milisingese, and I am also joined by Mr. Lucas Kakaza, who is a representative of community constituency and was part of the discussions on this bill. And also I have Mr. Ngobodi Mphahlele from BUSA, business constituency, who was also a member of the task team. And I was informed that Mr. Matthew Park will also be joining us. I don't see him yet. I believe he might already be here, or he's still going to join. I just didn't see him. But those are the people that I'm with. I thought it is good to introduce them, and they will be providing additions if they needed during the presentation. NEDLAC received the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency Bill as it was tabled by the Department of Water and Sanitation at the Development Chamber Task Team on the 3rd of May 2023. The engagement took place over 3 months, and the NEDLAC report was completed. And there were key issues that were raised and agreed in terms of the discussions at NEDLAC, and also there were recommendations that were also provided at the end of the deliberations by social partners. Mostly, a number of issues were agreed on the bill, and the task team provided wording to amend some sections of the bill. And then the issues of guidance were broadly supported by the task team, and there was an emphasis that on the principles to guide the board, proposals to strengthen the governance should be embedded on the good governance in line with the King 4 and the PFMA, as well as the National Treasury Regulations. In relation to the appointment of the board, the task team proposed and also agreed that the board should really encompass of individuals who are well qualified for serving in the board, are fit for serving, and they possess the relevant expertise. There was also an emphasis in relation to the fact that this agency should be human-centered and must be structured in line to serve the developmental priorities of the country, and also that the issue of pricing is another matter that came in the discussions, and it was also agreed that both the National Water Resource Infrastructure Bill as well as the National Pricing Strategy need to distinguish between the charges that would be levied by the agency and those that would be levied by the other water institutions, so that there is clarity in that. Actually, there were also areas of disagreement or concerns that were raised in the discussions. One of the issues related to the point that was raised by Labour, that the creation of the agency in general, they had a concern with that this agency is created, whereas government should be capacitating departments and not fragmenting the public service. And also circumventing agreements that are reached at the bargaining service coordinating council. So the other bargaining council rather. Then also Labour proposed that that government should consider or basically learn from the Border Management Authority in terms of transferring of workers, because this was one of the key concerns from Labour, that the establishment of this entity might adversely affect the conditions of employment of workers. Therefore, there was that proposal that they could also manage the transfer of workers similarly to the BMA provisions. And then while government noted the concerns that were raised by social partners, and in this regard, as I've mentioned, the concerns from Labour, they stated that the integrated funding, development, operation, and maintenance of infrastructure was really the overriding objective for establishing the agency, as the agency would be better able to raise funds and that the country currently has a substantial backlog of water resource infrastructure. So this agency would really be better empowered to do that. And also that the department on its own cannot raise funds on the capital market, and that the further reliance on the fiscus, which would not be possible, as we know that there's significant constraints in terms of our fiscus, so that then government was then emphasizing the need, therefore, for the establishment of the agency, rather than only saying the Department of Water and Sanitation should be the one that is undertaking all the responsibilities that are set for the agency. And then the other point was that to address the issue around the concerns on the transfer of employees, was that the conditions of service for employees will be engaged on and included in the transfer agreement, and that the transfer of staff to the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency will be conducted in line with the provisions of the Section 197 of the Labor Relations Act. Then the team had the following recommendations, one being that government should ensure that the transfer of workers does not adversely affect workers' benefits and their employment, and therefore that the conditions of service of employees must be set through the engagement at the Public Services Coordinating Bargaining Council and not solely determined by the CEO. And secondly, that government should ensure that the necessary consequence management is undertaken to ensure that the agency's efficiency is upheld. And this is also linked, Chair, to some of the points that were raised by the previous speakers around the concerns of corruption. And so this comment is linked, I mean, this point is linked to that, that there shouldn't be, to ensure that there aren't any issues of corruption. And if any arises, the drastic steps as far as consequence management are employed. And then the next point was that government must have proper change management plan, and that the inter-company agreements when merging the existing water entities are in place and can be implemented properly. And Chair, the other point was that the process of basically there must be clarity on the water value chain and responsibilities for all national water infrastructure and institutions in a transparent manner. This really talks to the distribution and clarity of responsibilities for the different institutions within the water value chain. Chairperson, I think that is bringing us to the conclusion of this presentation, that in essence, while there were concerns that were raised around duplicating the work or having the entity doing the work that could be done by the Department of Water and Sanitation, after all the engagement and the responses from government were considered, constituencies then agreed that if the agency is established, the department must definitely ensure that it is operated efficiently and effectively. And secondly, that the clarification of role is important in terms of providing water services, and therefore the role of the agency should be explicitly clarified. And Chair, the engagement that NEDLAC concluded in August this year, and the NEDLAC report was also submitted to the ministers, the relevant ministers and parliament, and it was also submitted to committee for discussion. And if there are any additional points that the members from NEDLAC would like to add, with the permission from the chair, would allow them to come in. Thanks.
Yes. Also, the report is being presented today to the committee, but not presented before. It is presented now by yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. That's all from my side. Justin, I think you are on a mute.
Mute. I'm sorry. I realized I've muted myself. I was saying we are now on the list of speakers. It is Honorable Basson who will speak first, Honorable Mashala, Honorable Tseki, Honorable Matuba, Honorable Mo, Honorable Sishwai, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would like to agree with you that the department needs to give answers on the questions that we have received. Now, 75% of people that's not supporting this bill is a huge amount of people that's not supporting this bill. And I really think that we really need to revisit this. There's a lot of questions. The outstanding amounts of municipalities to water boards and to the department itself, that raises also a huge question on the water trading entity and the viability. And Chairperson, since we've started with this project in the previous term, I raised this question about the outstanding money, the legacy of paying to the department by the municipalities, and how that would hamper the income and the loans that we wanted to take up if we've got that amount of money outstanding. So I would support your proposal, Chairperson, that we go ahead and ask the department to come up with a meeting and let's raise. Let them answer the questions, and then we can raise these issues that has come out in this this process with the department itself. Thank you.
Now, thank you so much, Chairperson. My question goes to the National Treasury and SALDA. Thanks for the input, and let me greet everyone on platform. Chairperson, the question is, if the agency is established as a state-owned company and falls under the category of state-owned enterprises in South Africa, although state-owned enterprises play an important role in South Africa's economy, however, of importance to challenges currently confronting the SOEs in South Africa, do they think the agency will comply with the PFMA and prescriptions of the Kimfor report? Another question, Chairperson, which goes to the National Treasury, is an economic regulator is established to decide water tariffs, wouldn't this put the agency at risk, making it the sole entity responsible for determining bulk water tariffs? Furthermore, considering the economic regulator's role in tariffs, it is essential for it to function independently, overseeing tariff determination throughout the entire water value chain, from water boards to municipalities. I end there, Chairperson. I think I also support Honorable Basson. The department must come on board so that we can deal with certain issues based on what we had from the presentations. Several presentations today, and I think that will take us through some way. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I'm not sure if my understanding is correct. The agenda says day one. If that process can be explained, does day one mean that as a committee, for the first time, we we consider this bill in terms of engagement. Secondly is the maybe the legal comments on the whether we can finish this bill within the left period for us to, before we go to recess or before we go to the elections. I'm not sure how do we avoid the politics, man. What's on doing it disturbs some of us. Because everything that government brings, the Western Cape has got issues with it. I don't know how we can raise that. Probably like what Tumani was saying, we need to give them some hearing for us to engage them. And I want to agree with legal that the number of objections should not deter us from continuing with the bill. But there are issues that are very important that are raised both by Treasury, SALGA, and NEDLAC, is the performance of the state entities, Chair. Because of the Zondo Commission, it's like trust deficiency is growing. Now, the establishment of this important entity is affected by the performance of other entities that are of the state. And I think we need to have a way of responding to deal with issues of confidence and to respond to give the community institutions and public confidence out there. Sorry, Chair. The other issue, Chair, on the pricing, both Treasury and SALGA are raising this matter. I'm not sure whether, Chair, the entity will be able to resolve this matter, whereas the department, we mandated the department to work with SALGA, to work with COCTA, for them to come up with something. I'm not sure. It's like we're throwing everything to this new agency. I doubt if we are not, I doubt if that will be possible for them to resolve, or we are just shifting issues that we need to continuously do oversight on them. So I tend to disagree with that pricing. Of course, if the institution comes before we resolve it, of course they will have to assist. But I'm worried to transfer it now, whereas we were given some task. We should start by reporting exactly what did we do, where were the blockages, before we take it to another institution. Because these historic deaths, comrades, are quite serious. So generally on NEDLAC, I'm worried as well on how NEDLAC presents. NEDLAC says, Labour says the following. It says, whoever says this. What is NEDLAC saying? I thought it's a position of NEDLAC. So are they presenting a NEDLAC position, or they are presenting factors within NEDLAC? Thank you, Chair. Ke ka dilo mjosti.
Mudla stula.
Bu wa khaitse ke khola ne lo wena to bu.
Thank you very much. I'm not quite sure what now. Chairperson, okay. Na palami koloi, hatewe koloi.
Ah, bua kuena, kuena. But if I fly over bua according to the list, bua.
Oh, I'm just like neke kupa ho direct you. I can read lena as part of the committee. Good morning, comrade. Good morning, honourable members, colleagues, Netlek, Salga, and colleagues from the department. Chair, let me also welcome the presentations as made by the National Treasury, Netlek, and also from our researcher. First and foremost, I would want to support the recommendations as presented, especially on the research. I would also want to say that we need, in support of what has been raised by Honorable Basson, we'll need further presentation and further engagement on the said matter and get clarity on what is taking place in various in various sector in terms of this presentation. But I also have a challenge and a big worry now that in terms of the SALGA presentation that we have noted that the entities are being owed more than 17 million. And my challenge is that if they are being owed that lot of money, and what will be the mechanisms that will be put in place to ensure that there is financial and sustainability in our agency that we are intending to establish. And also, Chair, in terms of the presentation also by our researcher, the nature of the input that makes the bill to be so rejected, whether the content thereof is it a problem, are they disputing on legal and principal matters, or it's just a matter of us sending a number of disputes? How did they analyze to that extent that yes, we can send rejections, but rejections can be rejections. But the fact of the matter is that are they qualitative enough for us to say that they are just disputes or we need to attend to them? Giving them an oral presentation, and I don't think should be a matter of concern to us. We pride ourselves as the government that is accountable, the government that is transparent. And I think it shouldn't be a problem to allow people to express their views. At the end of the day, if those issues or the presentation does not affect the presentations are not outside the prescripts of the Constitution and the Act, we'll still have to continue with the bill, which is with the agency, which is something that I'm so much in support of, but want to see other things being resolved, Chair. And also, Chair, and when one listens to the NetLeg presentation, I take it that their presentation was on the descending and ascending views in terms of what will happen going forward. But one is a member of the portfolio committee finds comfort that this will not also affect those who are in the employment of different entities. And it will not even affect their well-being going forward, being their pensions and so on and so forth. And lastly, Chair, one would want to understand who should give assurance in terms of their presentation of SALGA. Who should give the assurance on the non-increase of bulk tariffs in this instance? Because they are saying that the agency
there is that proposal, but how do we take it further? There's a better assurance, there's everybody who is in agreement in terms of what is going to happen going forward. That will be my contribution, Chair. However, the presentations are able to assist us to further understand and ask ourselves more questions. Hence, I support the view that we need also the department to be here. We are a caring government. We are transparent. Everything that we do, it's all about the people. Thank you so much, Chair.
Good morning,
colleague. Honorable Chair. Chairperson.
I have mentioned people on the names chronologically. Coming, it is Honorable Moore. What is the problem?
No, that's fine. Thank you, Chair. There's just some confusion. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentations from the various entities. I think it's interesting to see that there's a lot of converging concerns with regards to this. And I think with 75% public participation being opposed, we really need to be thorough in this process. I think the basic thing that comes to mind is that you don't design a system to work when the best leaders are in charge. You design it to work properly when the worst leaders are appointed. And let me be clear, I think we have some great leaders operating in this space currently. But some of the things that were highlighted as concerns by basically every entity who presented was concerns on the appointment of members of the board, as well as the ability of the minister to decide which infrastructure should be included in this, whether it's too broad, not enough controls. And to be blunt, to a certain extent, my concern is whether at some level, Chairperson and team, we are creating what could be seen as, and I think this is why there's so much opposition from the public, whether we are creating a new ESCOM ready to fail the nation. And when I look at the governance model that this new entity is being based on, I don't know that it has a history of success that can provide the confidence. And I think a number of the people who've asked questions have raised the issue of trust. They've raised the issue of confidence in the system to get it right. Because if it gets it right, it could be intervening in a critical manner to secure water provision for our nation. And I realize there is pressure to push this bill through. A lot of work has been done. But I feel like from the presentations that have been given, Chairperson, and some of the questions that are coming up, there are still some serious concerns around this. And I suppose what it really comes down to is if we get it wrong at this level with this an institution that covers so much of the response across the nation, we will have set our nation on a path of disaster. So I'd like to amplify the call to get input from the department. I think we need to really have a look, considering so many of the items were emphasized by each of the presentations and concerns from the public. I think we really need to get the department's input on this and really do our due diligence, because moving forward on the wrong step could be a critical problem. Thank you, Chair.
It is honorable to try.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. Good morning to your good staff and the colleagues and the presenters and the department in the platform. Kuyemore. Just to engage on the presentation, thank you very much to all presenters that have opened some eyes in some of the issues that the department presented to them on the bill. National Treasury is saying there could be some clauses on this bill that needs an amendment of PFMA. I just want an empowerment and clarity on that. And then if it's so, what could be the implications? Because the PMFA is a state power piece of legislation that all departments should look into. Now, if then this bill could amend that, what are the implications? What's that? The second one, Chair, is the issue that that Treasury has raised, that if the board member has some clashing interest with the report at hand and the content of the entity, she may recuse himself or herself, or do a responsible way that is tantamount to recusing. I lack the understanding. Because to me, recusing is a practical, physical leaving at the meeting. Is there another interpretation? Just for my empowerment in the process, so that I should not be explicit on my understanding of recusing. That will assist us. The last one is that I do want to agree that the department should come in and answer some of the questions, more especially in relation of the issues that come from the presenters and our research, so that we are in oneness in the understanding and respond on the queries now, not during the implementation. I want to agree on that, Chair. Thank you.
It is Honorable Slide.
I'm done, Chair.
Oh. If that is the case, it is Honorable Mary Peterson.
Thank you, sir. I want to greet everyone on the platform. Most of my questions that I wanted to ask were already asked, but I fully agree with the last speaker saying that the department must give us peace of mind on some of the issues that were mentioned by the different entities. Chairperson, somebody speaking. thank you, Chair. Thank you.
It is you, Honorable Tech.
Thank you very much, Chair, and once more greetings to all the members present.
Yes, I'm listening.
Oh, okay. But to our room. Greetings to your good self, Chair, and all the members connected, and our guests from SALGA, from National Treasury, and the and NetLink. I take it that besides the input that you have just presented today, all of you are supporting the bill as it is. But I think I will hear from you. Today we're just highlighting the submissions that you have done to the department and some proposals that you are saying. But generally, I think you are supporting the bill. Chair, I want to add on what Honorable Moore has said, to say from the research side, they've indicated that we have received 120 submissions, as much as others did not have substance in terms of the content of the bill. But I think it is important from them to package all the 120 submissions and submit them to members of the portfolio committee, and members of the committee will then read and make a determination out of those submissions. So going forward, Chair, the research, let's allow the research unit to package all the submissions that we have received. And then I take it that as part of the process, I think the legal advisor can assist us. I take it that at some point we'll engage on clause, or members will deliberate on clause by clause, and in so doing we'll be able even to include some of the proposals that were made by the stakeholders, be it the language or grammatical error, if the committee feels so. So I think the legal advisor will then advise on that. But just one question to the, I think the other question has been raised by Mam Swai on the implications on the the PFMA. Mam Swai have raised it. But my question is on the to the National Treasury in relation to the function of the agency. The National Treasury says the reasons to establish the national this agency, it's not explicit in the bill, but looking at the bill itself, the object of the bill in clause 6 and the functions of the bill in clause 7 subsection 1-6, I think to me, I think they can deliberate on that, and also making reference to the constitution as highlighted in the bill. I think to me those explanations are explicit. I wanted them to talk more and give us some proposal in terms of why they are saying the reasons are not explicit. To me, you know, this is a bill, and as much as it's a technical bill, but you can't write each and every thing in the bill. You can't include each and everything. But to me, those clauses that I've just highlighted, and in addition to the clauses in the bill, I think they are more elaborate in terms of outlining the reasons why the department wants to establish this bill. But Chair, I think those are my proposal and my question. But going forward, I think the department will need the department just to come and respond to some of the issues that are raised by these stakeholders. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, colleague. I think I did say that. Remember, we are making input for purposes of us building up to the department coming to visit ourselves. Yes, NetMac and Treasury, you might give clarity on the question raised, but the intended intention is that as and when we call the department to come and respond to these things that we are raising, we will call the representatives of the country. So these questions that are raised meant to them today, but it does not undermine the fact that we're still going to call the department to come and respond to this particular issue in a very deep, in-depth manner. But for now, let me allow you, the Treasury, NetLec, and any other person that you want to give an answer to the question. Let me start with Treasury.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. So let me start just on some of the kind of technical legal PSMA issues. So Honorable Shishwai, the bill amends, once the bill is enacted, the establishment of the agency amends Schedule 2 of the PSMA. Schedule 2 of the PSMA, so Schedule 2 and 3 of the PSMA, lists all the public entities who are subjected to the PSMA. So the Minister of Finance doesn't have, so in relation to Schedule 3 entities, the Minister of the authority to list them in Schedule 3 lies with the Minister of Finance. The Minister of Finance doesn't have the authority to amend Schedule 2. Only an Act of Parliament can do that. So by establishing, so once this bill is enacted, the establishment of the entity and to be included in Schedule 2 is the amendment to the PSMA. Nothing else within the PSMA gets amended, any of the other main provisions. It's really just about the listing of the entity in Schedule 2 that then gets amended. Then just on, so maybe I should start on the top, really. Just around, the issues that Honorable Mashlala had raised around compliance with the PSMA and the like, there's various checks and balances that this bill provides for and the PSMA provides for. And I suppose the question that you're really asking about is some kind of surety around how do we ensure that we execute those responsibilities that then lies with the board as the accounting authority for the purposes of the PSMA, but also the executive authority's responsibilities that we have in the PSMA. So one of the tools that is incredibly powerful within our existing system is the audit system. So audited financials, any issues that is raised by the Auditor General, the levers that the Auditor General then has in relation to how remedial action then gets taken, is a powerful tool in ensuring that we have some level of compliance that makes us all comfortable around what entities then report on. One of the probably the tools that we don't use very often in the PSMA is when we do have some form of financial misconduct, which is as a result of a breach around specific financial discrepancies that sits within sections 50, 51, 52, and 53 of the PSMA. I think even 54, is around financial misconduct and what steps the board needs to take in relation to financial misconduct, what steps the minister must take in relation to financial misconduct by the board, and the important levers and the important signal and indicator for that is really the Auditor General's report. So a lot of that comes down to the willingness and the ability of the accounting authority, of the executive authority, to do what the law requires them to do. In relation to the economic regulation aspects and the risk that sits around all of that, one of the important pillars, so what this bill does is it sets up a monopoly in the same way that ESCOM is a monopoly or Transnet is a monopoly. And what you don't want is for rent-seeking opportunities within that monopoly, which is why in those environments, okay, so not so much with Transnet, okay, only to the extent of my report infrastructure, but is that you have an independent regulator. So that the agency isn't the player and the referee when it comes to deciding on what infrastructure, when that infrastructure is provided and how that then gets paid for. So with some level of independence within the economic regulatory framework, what you then get is some check and balance that is independently determined on how the entity then prioritizes, invests, and develops water resource infrastructure. An important tool within independent economic regulation would be a dispute resolution mechanism. So where water users, as defined in both in this bill and in the National Water Act, would then have an opportunity to input into how water resource infrastructure gets developed. And in that context, we do think that it does provide for an opportunity that creates a lot more transparency around pricing, a lot more transparency around how investments happen, and a lot more transparency would strengthen the accountability by the agency to deal with the concerns that we may have around it kind of charging monopoly prices at monopoly profits and costs and higher costs than what is required to ensure that we have some level of efficiency within the system. And then just in relation to some of the issues that various members have raised around municipal debt and the pricing and the financial sustainability of the entity, I think one of the things that's important for us to understand the relationship between the sustainability of the entity and what's happening within municipalities and municipalities' inability to pay for not just the bulk water charges, but also for the maintenance of their own infrastructure, water resources, water services infrastructure, relates to challenges within municipalities, and it's not necessarily a function of water pricing. I mean, our work shows, for example, in metropolitan municipalities, that the revenue that they get from water to pay back bulk water charges and to maintain their systems gets used in other spaces within the municipality. So a lot of work that is currently happening with the support of DCOG and even the reforms that the Department of Water and Sanitation is proposing around water services and water services regulation is expected to kind of change the way we currently do this. That should ensure that, or what we're hoping, would allow for reduced risks around municipal debt for bulk water charges and for kind of dealing with the existing risks that sit within water services that we're currently seeing. So we think that the success of that really lies within the strengthening the governance arrangements, strengthening how water is charged and priced at the municipal level, how that can get paid for, is a lot more important than how we think about what this entity's role is in all of that. And another mechanism to kind of deal with this and to provide for the transparency actually lies within the raw water pricing strategy that aims to kind of, that will set up better parameters around the transparency on how water is charged to ensure that you have some efficiency within the system. Just on Honorable Seke's question about what I said was not explicit in the bill. It wasn't in relation to what is the reason why we're setting up the entity in relation to clause 6 of the bill, but really what we then say later in the bill, I think it's in where is that clause 30, what is it? On the transfer, in clause 37 of the bill around the transfers and assets. So the bill focuses a lot on kind of the TCTA moving of the TCTA into this entity, and there's lots of financial risks and the legal certainty that is provided for in there. What isn't necessarily explicit is that you're actually transferring the water trading entity out of the department into the agency. And that's really where the magic lies, because the assets that underpins this entire agency lies within the water trading entity that will move out of the department. So on the balance sheet, so what it does is it creates a balance sheet for the agency that would allow us to leverage off those assets. So the reason for setting up the entity is supported. What it will do is supported. It is just that the real magic doesn't come out quite clearly. And maybe there isn't a way to do it because it's because the legal certainty is provided for in what this entity is mandated to do and in the transfer of assets and liabilities that's provided for in clause 37. Let me just check if I answered all these questions. I think, oh, the last one is around that Honorable Shishwai had asked was around the disclosure and the recusal provisions. So there's two clauses, sub-clauses, that deals with this in the bill in clause 19. So I mean, the Companies Act, so the bill blindly says we will follow what's in the Companies Act. But, I mean, so, and the bill explicitly sets out issues around the disclosure. So that is quite clear, is that we have to, that members will have to disclose their interest, whether it is material or not. One of the things that isn't quite clear is around this, under what circumstances do you recuse yourself? Is it only in relation to when the issue at hand is material, or should you also recuse yourself under situations where it is not material? But the objective around all of this is really that the board must, or the members of the board must act in an unbiased way. And is the only way to act in an unbiased way around by recusing yourself? And if that's not the case, what are the alternatives? Right now, it is not quite clear how that is being treated with in the bill. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, if I may, with your permission, it's Pumela Lengema, once again, the parliamentary advisor. I just want to quickly clarify on the two things that the members asked in respect of the amendment and the PFMA implications that will arise from this bill. Chairperson, I think the beauty is that in terms of the PFMA, we have provisions that outline exactly what should happen. And if you look at Section 4 of that Act, of the PFMA Act, it does indicate that there are possibilities of amendments that may be done by other legislation to the PFMA. But if that's the case, Chairperson, it is required that there be either a consultation with the minister relevant or taking responsibility for the PFMA, which in this case will be the Minister of Finance. So if when the department does their briefing and presentation to the committee, it will be indicated whether that consultation has taken place in respect of the draft legislation that is before this committee. And alternatively, then, as already been indicated by the colleague that just spoke before me, that amendment must be brought before Parliament. So in this instance, I think in light of the consultation, if it has taken place, and in light of the other provisions, Section 40, 46, 7, and 8 of the PFMA, then the changes will be effected in light of the directives by those provisions, working together with the National Treasury in this instance. So the possibility of an amendment by virtue that the bill in this instance is indicating that this entity must be a Schedule 2. The members are correct to be taking a point that is this bill then amending the PFMA to a certain degree? Because eventually when the listing must happen of this entity, that will be an amendment to the PFMA. But the provisions of the PFMA are clear as to what needs to happen and what should have happened. So I think in light of the legislative processing and the powers that Parliament has in this instance, that will be clarified as the process goes on, and I don't think it's necessarily an issue so much because the PFMA itself is guiding how the process must be that eventually a scheduled entity is listed in the Act as part of the PFMA. That is the only question, Chairperson, I wanted to add and clarify on just before maybe problems may arise. Thank you, Chair.
No, colleagues, I think if I may just remind the committee that, remember, we went through the process of creating the new area and taking over from the TCTA and all others that we as a portfolio committee, we went through that process and adopted that decision and gave it over to Parliament for it to be a Now, this response is on the basis of that which we made a proposal of a bill being a 75 bill that it must come back for finalization. Now, where we are, the department has taken our recommendations. It has tested it with the stakeholders. The stakeholders are responding. And finally, we are going ourselves to take all these concerns raised by the other stakeholders with the department in order for us to finalize the deal. So an impression must not be created that we did not resolve on the creation of the new appeal, which is going to be an act earlier on. We did that as a portfolio committee. We gave the go-ahead of the department to engage with the stakeholders, and now that engagement is coming back for finalization with the department. As per the recommendation of our researcher, it means now we are at the second phase wherein the department must come and give us the final response to everybody who raised concerns and what is going to be the posture moving forward when the bill is enacted. And I think we need to take it that way, because if we can move from the premise that we have not resolved on the creation of the new area, we might be creating a wrong impression to the stakeholders who have engaged with the view that the department is representing the portfolio committee having gone through the process of creating this new area bill. Is there any other person who wanted to still add on the just answering the questions raised by members?
Yes, Honorable Chair, from Clauda.
Clauda.
Yes, Honorable Chair, may I proceed?
Please do.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Very briefly, I think there were two issues directed at Clauda. I think my colleague from Treasury responded to the issue of whether or not the agents will comply to the PFMA, etc. At this point in time, from our side, we can't comment on that as the agency hasn't been formulated and it doesn't exist. So it would be speculative at this point in time. So that's on the issue of the independent regulator, Honorable Mashallah, as far as the long-standing position is actually that we need one for various reasons. To Honorable Matuba, on who should give assurance on non-increase of tariffs, our expectation, Honorable Matuba, is that DWS should do that as they are championing this particular undertaking. And we perhaps disagree with our colleague from National Treasury on that the issue of tariff affordability is never an issue. It's often that municipalities misuse the funds that are collected for water services. I think in tariff consultations, enough municipalities have done affordability studies to demonstrate that some of the proposals that are often proposed in terms of bulk water tariffs are not affordable for those specific municipalities. So I think an analysis of just 8 metros and coming to a conclusion that all 144 municipalities can afford may not necessarily be reasonable or fair. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
No, Salga, there shall be ever no time when a Treasury and Salga will be in coherence with the issue of the expenditure and the payment of debt. It is expected. It is inherent. With my experience of being in Salga and vis-a-vis Treasury, there is no way where we are very much in coherence with one another on whether who is owing who and who is not doing what. But I hear you.
Thank you, Shepesi.
Yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Shepesi. That's why I said it is a blessing in disguise to have people of your caliber serving in these committees, because we know that you carry along on our bedding. I'm sorry to just make that note. Thank you so much.
Members, do I take it that we are now adopting that research recommendation, that we are now going to have to meet the department and for the department to take into cognizance Salga, NEDLAC, and Treasury's input into the issue, and all other stakeholders, 75% of them that have spoken to ourselves, and give us the final product. Will I be correct in taking that way?
Sorry, Chairperson. NEDLAC has not answered yet.
I beg your pardon?
Nedlac,
come in.
Nedlac, yes.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you to the committee for the comments and the questions raised. I've noted 2 points that were raised for response by Nedlac. One is a comment from Honorable Matuba. That's noted. Thank you, Honorable Matuba. Then the other point was raised by Honorable Seki in relation to what is the position of Nedlac and if whether Nedlac represents the views of organized labor. So the position of Nedlac, as I've mentioned, is that Nedlac supports the bill as it was Nedlac. And then in terms of the Nedlac protocol, maybe let me also explain that Nedlac has 4 constituencies that engaged on this bill. And then in terms of the Nedlac protocol is that in instances where there are areas of concern or areas of disagreement,
Hello, I'm listening.
Chairperson, mute your mic, Chair.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. So is that the Nedlac protocol provides for that in instances where there are areas of disagreement or areas of concerns that arise during the engagements at Nedlac. Those concerns should be noted in the Nedlac report, and the position of that of each of the social partners who are disagreeing on those issues should be raised. And therefore, I have raised the position of Labour in relation to that provision of the Nedlac protocol, Chair. Thank you very much. I trust that I've responded to all the issues that were raised in relation to Nedlac. Thank you.
It's supposed to be way forward unless there is a different opinion of you. Can I hear you there? They respond to that? Mamash, can I conclude in the manner that I said? Members, are we still in the meeting?
Yes, Chair, I think you conclude.
I did propose earlier on that having listened and having answered the questions they've raised, will I be correct to assume that the recommendations by the researcher shall then take us forward in a manner that we will then call a meeting with the department wherein if all these questions and responses shall be made formally and hear what is their response for us to take a final decision on what the bill should look like.
Recommendation supported, Chair. My apologies for not raising my hand.
Okay. Is there anyone who differs with the mover by Honorable Matuba? Honorable Sharon, what is are you raising your hand to support or not support?
No, I can't do that. I don't have the mandate. Chairperson, we still have a few oral submissions, requests from stakeholders on oral submissions.
Where are they?
So, are we going to await the oral submissions before the department responds, or the department responds today?
Where are those submissions, Sherry?
The submissions are going to be inputted and provided as a briefing to the to the portfolio committee next week.
And I'm saying, where will they be coming from, Sherry? Because if they are not here now, Are there still hearing that assistant somewhere that will have heard those?
Yes, Chairperson, the portfolio committee program has created a slot for oral submissions, and we only received two definite submissions for oral submissions.
But is there any reason why they were not put here, Sharon, if that's the case? Okay. It does not matter. We're still going to hear the department coming to us. So I'm sure it will take into cognizance that which you're talking to is still going to be coming. Are you going to consolidate them into a workable report?
Yes, Chairperson. But I'm not too sure about what the oral submission is.
Well, Sharon, as I'm saying, consolidated bring it to all other reports that come to present to the department for them. Let's consolidate.
Okay, I'll do it so once we receive the oral presentations, Chairperson.
Okay. Having said that, members, do I take it that you have come to the conclusion of the meeting?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Yes, support the recommendations.
Is that a move? Can I get a second officially?
Chair, I've long moved for the...
Oh, yes, Honorable Matuba. I forgot that you already moved. Honorable Teke is then seconding you. Thank you very much for your time and energy. Let's meet at the sitting at 2. Thank you very much.
The 9 members also thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, all the nine members.
Chop, chop.